Food prices continue to rise along with soaring energy prices. The Labor Department reported yesterday that consumer prices rose by 1.1% last month, nearly double the rate from May. Over the past year, prices have climbed 5%. It's the steepest one-year change since 1991, and it has all of us wondering how to save money. And we'll get some help this hour on saving money on our food bill. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 past 6 on this Thursday, July the 17th. Our guest has some advice on how we can save some money at the grocery store, and I'll bet some of you do too. What are you doing differently these days, or what have you been doing all along to save money at the grocery store? Are you clipping coupons? Are you shopping around for the best deals at different supermarkets? Are you stocking up on deals? Are you planning your meals and shopping with a list with maybe a week's worth of meals in mind? What are you doing to save money on your food bill? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email, talk@wpr.org. Our guest this hour is Holly Johnson, food editor for MyRecipes.com. Good morning.
Good morning. Great to be on the show with you.
Thanks a lot for being here. So do you employ all of these tips when you're shopping for your food?
I could say I try. Yeah. I definitely try. I think the most important thing is just finding which tips work best for you, because there are so many different ways that people can save. And as you were just mentioning, you just have to pick which one, whether it's making the list or whether it's shopping around. It just depends on how much time you want to invest and how dedicated you are.
Yeah. Now, way back when, I used to clip coupons for deals at the grocery store. Now I don't. And I looked on your list, and I'm not so sure I should start doing that again.
Coupons are a great way to save. I think the most important thing about them is to make sure that it's on items or brands that you always purchase or that you want to purchase. Another thing with coupons is to make sure that the brand name item versus the what the coupon is for, to make sure that the coupon is still not more expensive than other items. So say it's on a coupon on Jif peanut butter, and you don't have a preference about Jif or Skippy or Peter Pan or the store brand, it may be more expensive still with the coupon to buy that Jif than to buy a different brand. So if you're dead set on one brand, if that's what your family prefers, then definitely try to find a coupon. You can go on the manufacturer's website. There are some great websites out there that you can go and find different coupons that may be for items that you like. Or the Sunday newspaper is another great way, like you said. But it's just a matter of making sure that you're saving with that coupon, and you're not just seeing a coupon for some random item and thinking, oh, that's what I need, and then really you don't need it. If it's for items that you use, definitely clip, but just make sure to cost compare.
Yeah. One of the things that I made some mistakes in the past were the two-for-one deals, because they're not, I ended up not really even using the second item, and it just became, you know, a waste.
Right. That's the main thing about saving money, is to watch out for overconsumption. So the two-for-one deals, unless the grocery store specifies that you have to purchase the two to get the price for one, same as like a buy one, get one free, or buy 10 for $10. If it doesn't give a minimum purchase, two for one may mean one for half price. So just kind of be aware of that. Same with the 10 for $10. It could be that it means one for $1. And if it's going to go bad, especially if it's a perishable item, then you may end up losing money in the end if you have to throw that item away at the end of the day.
Yeah. And you also say beware of the sale signs at the grocery store.
Yes. Watch out for the sale signs. They definitely can be a good thing. We don't want to say that grocery stores are, you know, trying to scam you, but not by any means. But just be aware, sometimes things that are on sale are items that haven't moved in a while, and so the grocery store is trying to push them. So double-check the expiration date on those. Also double-check that it's not something that was marked up and then was called on sale and marked back down. Sometimes when things are on sale, it's a promotional campaign, or it's a marketing strategy to get people to buy that. And like I said with the coupons, just make sure to double check, because it's usually the name brand products that are marked on sale. So cost compare, and if you don't have an opinion or if you don't have a preference versus a store brand or least expensive product, then double check that. So always check against the sales to make sure that that is the best. And often you'll see that sale items are up in the front or in the, they're on the end caps, so they're not around where the other items that are similar are. So it may take a little bit of walking from point A to point B to double check, but it'll be worth your time in the end to cost compare.
Our guest is Holly Johnson. She's food editor for MyRecipes.com, sharing some tips on how to shrink our grocery bills during this hour. 1-800-642-1234 is our toll-free number if you have a question or maybe you have a tip of your own. What are you doing these days to save money on your food bill? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. That's Arlo Guthrie's Grocery Store Blues, and we're talking this hour how we can alleviate those grocery store blues and save some money at the grocery store, and looking for your questions and your own suggestions. What are you doing to save money on your food bill during this tough economic time where food prices continuing to rise? We learned yesterday consumer prices rose by 1.1%, double the rate from May. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest this hour is Holly Johnson. She's food editor for MyRecipes.com, and she's compiled a list of tips for saving money on your food bill that we are talking about this hour. Bill in Deerfield joins us first. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I've got actually two ideas. One is eat lower on the food chain. You can get complete proteins from legumes, beans, rice, and that's a lot cheaper than beef. And two, if you have the money and if you have the space, I would buy as much of all the things that you need and you use, often paper products, cleaning products, because they're going to be going up by double-digit inflation in the next year or so. So if you got the space and the money,
yeah.
Buy now.
Do you agree, Holly?
Yeah, I definitely agree. Like Bill said, especially with paper products, that is a point that I wanted to make. Regular grocery stores often charge 20 to 40% more on non-food items, like your toilet papers, your shampoos. So if you can go to a discount store or even one of the wholesale stores to purchase those items, that would be your best bet. And as he mentioned, if you have the space to buy those items in bulk, definitely go for it, especially when they're on sale. Now, if it's something like canned food, you may want to watch out for because that can expire, although that is a good one to buy in bulk and store. But some of those items at the discount stores, like the perishable food that I mentioned, you know, it's hard to buy six heads of romaine lettuce and eat it all in a week before it goes bad. So there are some different tips, but eating lower on the food chain with the beans and grains, that is such a great idea. That is a really good way to save. And on my recipes and just on a lot of other recipe websites and in cookbooks, you can find recipes for meatless options that give great ideas on what to do with dried beans that even involve making them into burgers or making them into different types of main dish meals that are more than just a side dish. So there's some really good ways out there. And eating the natural foods, trying to stick to non-processed foods. The processed foods are often packaged, and so you're paying for the packaging and the advertising and paying for that processing. You stick to things that are a little bit more natural, like what you would find around the perimeter of your grocery store, so your fruits and vegetables, your dairy products, your poultry, your meats. Try to stick with those items or at least do that grocery shopping around the perimeter first. You'll find that a lot of times those are the lower-priced items, or you get more nutritional bang for your buck.
Yeah. My husband and I were just talking yesterday because we maybe too frequently we'll go to the grocery store that has the salad bar, the pre-made salads and ingredients, because it's so convenient. But gosh, it's expensive too.
It is, and it depends on your lifestyle. Sometimes it's worth the extra price for the convenience. If you're busy, you've got to factor in what your time is worth. that definitely, you know, it's hard to put a dollar value on it, but it can take that dollar value. So if it's just two of you and you might spend more money trying to buy lettuce and tomatoes and cucumbers and salad dressing and all those toppings and things that you want on a really great salad, it might be just as cheap, for, especially for two people, to go to the salad bar. You just kind of have to judge what your time is worth, and if you're buying products that you may not use all of it, will you use it again in the next few days before it goes bad?
Absolutely. That's the problem. We would buy, all, you know, stock up on all those salad items, fresh items. We love salads, but sometimes we would find that, you know, it would go bad, and so we were wasting money by wasting that food.
Right. It definitely takes a little bit of extra time to plan ahead to decide, okay, is it worth purchasing all of these items? And it might be that you have a local farmer's market where you can buy those for even a little bit less, or paying attention to what is in season at the time. Usually the in-season products, especially the vegetables and the fruits, are a little bit less expensive because they don't have to travel as far. They just come from somewhere close to you into the market. So whether it's a farmer's market or if it's in the grocery store, you usually see those items marked as, you know, I live in Alabama, and so I see Clanton peaches or Georgia peaches and corn and different products from the region. So those are usually the ones to pay attention to while it's in season, and summer's the best time to do that.
We are looking for your suggestions, your tips on how to shrink your grocery bill, how to cut down on the high cost of food by shopping wisely. What do you do? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Our guest has compiled a list of tips on how to shrink your grocery bill, and we are looking for your suggestions, too. Brian in Monona emails, "The way I avoid spur-of-the-moment expensive lunch or I'm too tired to cook temptations that lead to one of the biggest culprits in sending your food budget over the top is to cook large batches of soups, stews, casseroles on the weekend, and then I freeze them in lunch-size containers. The freezer is full of quick meals, so we avoid the temptation of impulsive, expensive meals." Thank you, Brian. That helps me, Holly. Sounds like a good idea.
I think that sounds like an excellent idea. And there are so many different ways to do that. If you have a little bit of time on the weekend or one evening during a weeknight, if you can prepare something in a large batch, like a casserole or a soup or a chili, then that is definitely a great way to have those food items on hand. And just make sure, if you freeze it, to keep it in an airtight container and write the date that you prepared it on, because usually those foods can last 2 or 3 months, so you're going to be able to eat on those even a little bit down the road, so you may not want soup or chili every single night in a row for a week. But if you can prepare a couple different items, have them on hand, that is an excellent, excellent suggestion.
Yeah. Tracy in Oakfield joins us now. Hi, Tracy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a huge family, always have, and the best thing that happened to our community is we got an Aldi's and a Save-A-Lot. So, you know, you're going to be bagging your own groceries, you're going to be doing a little more work, but honestly, you can save 40% on your grocery bill.
Yeah, that's I noticed, actually, there have been some reports out that those stores, including stores like Walmart, their sales are going up. People, more and more people are going to the discount stores or discount grocery stores to save money, Holly Johnson.
Right. That is definitely true. And I'm jealous we don't have those stores where I live, but I've done a lot of research and a lot of reading and have read some great things about Save-A-Lot in particular. Someone was talking, it was a blog, and it was an entire blog on the butter that they have and how you can buy a pound of butter for $1.99, where in many other places, brand name butter is as much as $5 per pound. So if you can go to the discount stores and save, that is great. Now, you don't always have as much of an option as you would have at the grocery store. And something else to watch out for at the discount stores, and I'm so guilty of this, is you've got to watch the amount of time that you spend in the store. So at the discount stores, you're probably shopping for your toilet papers and your shampoos and your toothpaste, as well as groceries. But studies are finding that for each additional minute that you spend in the grocery store, and discount stores would apply, you end up spending as much as 50 cents to a dollar after a half an hour, but 50 cents to a dollar per minute on your final bill. So just watch out when you're going up and down each aisle and just browsing. You may be making some unnecessary buys. And so just takes a little bit of upfront planning to figure out how to save. But if you can go into those stores, have an idea of what's on sale, or have an idea of what you need, go in, go out, get what you need, be done with it, then it's a good way to save.
Yeah.
But just watch out for spending too much time in those stores, because I know when I'm in Target, we have a super Target here,
right,
that has the clothes and the groceries. I just make the rounds, and it's fun. It's a Saturday afternoon activity, but I find out, especially when I leave, that I have some food items I don't necessarily think
right.
I'm going to eat, and some snacky foods, and then I've got a pair of shoes in there. So you really just got to watch out.
You sound like me, Holly.
Yeah, I just browse.
Yeah.
And I'm guilty as the next person, that's for sure. And it really does take a little bit of time. We want to empower our spenders to shop smart and to plan ahead. And so we're not saying that grocery stores or discount stores are bad or that they're trying to trick customers. We just want to remind customers that there's some easy ways to save, and it just takes a little bit of upfront planning.
Hey, Tracy, is still there?
You bet.
Do you stick to the list or do you browse?
I do. Mm-hmm. I do. I have to. And I never buy my paper products there because they tend to be a little bit on the, how do I say it, not so great side.
Yeah.
The
so,
rough
but
side.
But I do stick to my food list, and I usually buy my canned goods, especially canned goods, and my meats there, and then I will pick out at the farmer's market the fruits and vegetables that we need for that week.
That's great. Now, Tracy, do you use weekly flyers from the grocery store? Do you plan your list based on what you're making, or do y'all usually eat around the same thing so that you know what you need, or how do you do your list? There's different strategies. I'm just curious what you do.
Actually, we pretty much eat the same thing every week, and I've done it that way for years.
Right.
You know, but during the summer, that can vary because, you know, there's trips to the lake and there's, you know, so sometimes I spend a little more, but not very often. I usually can keep my food bill right around $200 for a two-week period.
That's great. That's a great strategy.
For a large family, that's excellent.
Mm-hmm.
I do that about for just my husband and I.
that can be difficult.
Beverly and Madison, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, if you go shopping at Indian grocery stores, the spices like cinnamon are much, much cheaper. You get, a cup for a dollar or something.
Wow.
And you can put most of it in the freezer and just have a little out for fresh.
Oh, all right. Never thought of that.
Yeah, that's a great tip. And even dollar stores have spices. And if you just check the expiration date, you can find dried spices because those are a product. That's one thing that ends up just making my food bill go up so high is when I'm purchasing spices. And there's something great to keep on hand because they're a simple way to flavor your food so that you're not having to buy a lot of extra ingredients and sauces or marinades. Just some dried spices or a spice rub is a simple way to flavor meat, and it is definitely cost-effective. But I love the tip about the Indian grocery stores.
Yeah,
that's a great one.
Thank you very much, Beverly. We will continue talking about how to save money at the grocery store with Holly Johnson, food editor for MyRecipes.com, after we check the latest news. 1-800-642-1234 if you'd like to join in, or 263-1890. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Thursday, July the 17th, and we're figuring out ways to save money at the grocery store this hour with our guest, Holly Johnson, food editor for MyRecipes.com. She has a list of tips to save on food and your food bill and your grocery store bill, and we welcome your questions for her and maybe your own tips at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our next caller is Julie in Racine. Hi, Julie, you're on the air.
Hi, I wanted to mention is in the midst of some of the cost things that we should maybe think about targeting our expenses some and looking at maybe reducing quantity of some items, you know, rather than going for things that aren't as much quality. But I think some of the things that to me are important are, if you're buying meats, that they are hormone-free, or milk, but just kind of thinking about where we are going to spend money and where we're not, and also using fresh vegetables. Gardens are wonderful. People have time, but also farmers markets. And
yeah, so you're saying a quality over quantity.
Well, specific issues, I think, are important, and we mm-hmm. think about where we're spending money and if we are going to be just making a point of, like, where we're going to, what kind of meat we're going to use. I think it's important to think, I guess it's an opportunity to think about what we're eating and think about what we're consuming all the way around, that we might be better off using less meat, but have it be hormone-free.
Holly?
No, that's a great tip. I think it's important when you're buying to make sure that you're getting the most amount of nutrients. And if you can purchase the items that are hormone-free or the organic items, even though they are a little bit more, when you consider some of the issues that may come down the road from eating ones that aren't hormone-free, then it could kind of balance out in the end. But like Julie was saying, and also similar to what Bill was saying, was to maybe try to decrease the amount of meat that you eat and find other ways, such as dried beans or canned beans or other sources of protein. And then there are some cheaper options, like flank steak, for example, that you can find hormone-free, grass-fed, that is a little bit cheaper than, let's say, a filet or whatnot. And you can cut that cost, but it doesn't mean that you have to cut meat out of your diet completely. And there are some different ways to prepare the meats that may be a little bit less tender. You can cook them a little bit longer. You can cut them across the grain. There are some different tenderizing techniques where you can pound them out. That goes with mm-hmm. chicken as well. And season with some rubs, with some of your spices, and you can have a great dinner and maybe stretch it a little bit more. So purchase a flank steak and use it on top of a salad, or use it in a quesadilla or a taco. So the meat isn't your main option. Maybe you're getting more vegetables and the meat's almost like a side. It's another way to think about it, but you still want to get that healthy protein in there. But you can either choose a lean cut of a lesser expensive meat, or go with your beans, with your peanut butter, mm-hmm. some different ways like that yeah. to save on your protein.
And I'll bet when you're planning your grocery list, how often do you shop? Do you shop once a week?
I shop about once a week, and mm-hmm. and I'm a single girl, and I like to make meals for my family or for my boyfriend, but a lot of times I'm just preparing food for myself, so mm-hmm. it can be a little bit difficult. I use the freezer quite a bit to purchase what I need. I mean, I may go to the grocery store and buy one or two tomatoes for an entire week. I like to eat a lot of fresh foods, but I also kind of have to pay attention to how quick is this going to go bad. And I mean, and I'm just as guilty as the next person of that tomato set out on the counter, set in the refrigerator a little too long.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But I usually try to go about once a week on the weekends. Sometimes I can go maybe even 2 weeks where I can just sort of plan out what I want to cook, what I need, freeze what I'm not going to use immediately, and then cook from there.
Yeah, I'll bet another way to do this, and I would if I cooked, is that you can decide here's the menu for the week, and maybe you're going to have that chicken as a chicken dinner one day, and the next day, you know, you just plan that then the next day I am going to use the chicken in a salad.
Exactly. There's I think the lingo out there is like cook once, eat twice.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I'm cook once, eat five times.
Yeah.
Because on a Sunday I'll grill five or six pieces of chicken breast, and maybe leave two or three in the refrigerator to eat on, and then freeze the other ones cooked, so that later on in the week or even the next week, I can just take those out, leave them in the refrigerator overnight.
Mm-hmm.
They thaw perfectly. They're still cooked. They're, you know, moist and juicy and have that great fresh flavor. But I do. I'll eat a chicken breast as it is one night. The next night, I may put it on a salad. The next night, I may chop it up and make some type of spaghetti sauce with it or something like that. So it does call for being a little bit creative. And on my recipes, there are a lot of different ideas for that where you can, right now in Cooking Light, there's one called Grill Once, Eat Twice. And the way my recipes works, just for our readers or for the listeners that aren't familiar with the website, is that Southern Progress is a company out of Birmingham, Alabama, but it houses the magazines Southern Living, Cooking Light, Health Magazine, Cottage Living, Southern Accents, at Coastal Living. There's about eight of them, but all of their recipes live on this one website. So the fun thing for me is that I get to play with all of their recipes. We have about 30,000 on the site, and we can take the best of the best or the least expensive out there and put those into stories so that when our viewers get on, they can type in the word cheap, for example, and a story called Eats on the Cheap, which is all about how to use dried beans, canned tuna, oatmeal, whole chickens with recipes are there. We have another story called Dinner on a Dime, which features six recipes that make at least four servings that cost under $10 per recipe. So there's some great tools out there. And, of course, I'm plugging my own site, but there are many other websites and blogs on the Internet that if you just have a little bit of time to get out there, you might be able to look in your pantry and see, oh, my gosh, you know, one day I was at the grocery store and couscous was on sale, and I don't know what in the world to do with this. And you can go in and type that in and get just hundreds of recipes using that ingredient, and then you can kind of use what you already have. That's really important when grocery shopping, and if you make a list or if you just kind of make a mental list or when you're planning your meals, look at what you already have and then decide what to make from there, because, of course, we all see those impulse buys or that looks like a great sale, so we pick it up and it maybe has been sitting there for a while. So if you can kind of reduce some of those extra ingredients, it'll end up saving you some money.
Let me go next to Mike in Wautoma. Hi, Mike.
Good morning.
Morning.
Best advice I can give to people here would be to invest in a freezer, invest in canning jars, and invest in a vacuum sealer.
Yes.
Buy everything in bulk you possibly can. You know, one of the easiest, cheapest ways to get meat if you want steak and pork is go visit a locker plant. You can buy a side for a whole lot less money than you can buy it from the store. If you get to know an area farmer, a lot of times you're able to buy it right off the farm and produce everything you possibly can for yourself.
Yeah, and did you ever do that?
That's a great tip. We were talking about vacuum sealers at work the other day because we get a lot of fun products sent to us to try out, and so one of the girls in the office has been using a vacuum sealer and absolutely loves it. She said she's been able to purchase more foods in bulk, put them in the vacuum sealer, seal it up so it gets rid of all of the oxygen in the bag, which makes your food end up turning bad. And then she's able to store it, and she just has, I think, her refrigerator just side-by-side, refrigerator, freezer. But she's been able to put a lot more things in there. The only thing I would say about buying in bulk is just make sure that it's an item you're going to use. So if you can vacuum seal it, if you can freeze it, definitely go for it. But if it's something like milk where, you know, you might be able to buy one, get one free, or it's the big jug versus something smaller, but you may not be able to drink that much milk as fast. And eggs is another one. Just be careful not to overbuy those items that will go bad. But something like a vacuum sealer, or if you don't have a vacuum sealer, just make sure when you're freezing different items or ingredients to try to get as much air out of the bag as possible. A lot of times I like to, I might go a little bit too extreme, but it helps the food stay longer, is wrap it in plastic wrap, and sometimes I'll wrap it in foil, and then I'll put it in a baggie and label that baggie so I know how long it's been in there.
And
but as much oxygen as you can get away from the food, the better.
Then you have to remember it's in the freezer.
Exactly. Yeah, then you have to look at that big lump of aluminum foil and think, now, what was that again? Yes, that's why I have to get my Sharpie out and mark my bag every time.
We will check our weather forecast, and then we want to hear from you. How are you saving money at the grocery store these days? Or what questions do you have for Holly Johnson, food editor for MyRecipes.com? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 12 minutes before 7 o'clock. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Well, lots of troubling economic news out there this week. A big bank bailout, crumbling consumer confidence, other economic news. We will talk with a guest economist about what's going on with the economy coming up after 7 o'clock. We're talking about the economy this hour as well and getting some tips on how to save money at the grocery store. Consumer prices released yesterday, a jump of 1.1%. Much worse than expected, announced yesterday. How do we save some money at the grocery store? We're talking with Holly Johnson, food editor for MyRecipes.com, who has compiled a list, and we're talking about the list. And we're also taking your suggestions and some really good ones so far. What do you do to save money on your grocery bill? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our lines have been busy, but now a couple of lines have opened up for you, so time for you and a line for you to talk about what do you do to save money on your food bill at the grocery store. Sharon in Pulaski is with us next. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Along with the economy, I was thinking that it's a good idea to save as much as you can by stocking up on food in your pantry. I have a shelf in my basement that I pretty much load from the left and take from the right, but I have, I'd say, a good 6 week supply of a lot of non-perishables, so just in case the truckers stopped trucking and our grocery stores run out of food, or, you know, my husband loses his job or something, our family can be fed.
Oh, are you that worried, Sharon?
Well, my mom and my dad had seasonal work. He was a carpenter, so when my dad was working, my mom would always stock up, and so I kind of do that myself.
Yeah. I like the load from the left, take from the right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Holly?
Yeah, no, that's definitely smart. It's kind of the first-in, first-out principle that grocery stores use when stocking their shelves, is to use what has been on there the longest, move that up to the front, and that just keeps everything moving so nothing sits too long. For non-perishable items, that's a great idea. I would just make sure to keep an eye on the expiration dates, but if you can find good sales, like when there's the 10 for $10, and it might be 10 cans of, you know, diced tomatoes or something that you would use pretty often, it doesn't go bad, stock up. Just watch out for the items that may turn too quickly. And if you have room to store it, that's excellent. It just sort of depends on your lifestyle and if you have enough room for that. And like Mike said, I wanted to go back and touch on something he had mentioned as far as going to the butcher, to a slaughterhouse, or going to
getting a whole side of beef, or something.
Right, a whole side of beef, going straight to the farmers. Anytime you can cut out the middleman, it's an excellent way to save. I think one thing that you just have to be aware of, it's probably just doing a little bit of cost comparison and calculating on your own, is how far do you have to drive to get there? And if you have to drive an hour or two and it's, you know, the cost of gas, that may factor in. But if it's something that's close or someone that is not that far away, it's definitely a good way to save. And then just make sure you have some type of a generator or a backup plan should the power go out, because it would just be heartbreaking to lose that much meat or that much of whatever it is that you vacuum sealed or that you've frozen. Mm-hmm. But I love that tip that he had, and I didn't touch on it before, so I just wanted to mention that again. Anytime you can cut out the middleman, a good thing.
When you just mentioned about the driving around from store to store, I used to know a couple that did that. They would go through the Sunday paper and they say, milk's on sale at this store, and cereal's on sale at this store.
Mm-hmm.
And they would drive around to all the different stores to get all the different deals. And I thought, that doesn't seem like that would save a whole lot of money, especially now with the gas prices.
I think with the gas prices, that's definitely tough. Now, if there's a store that may have an excellent sale on diapers, let's say, and you can stock up for months or however long and you have the room to save it, it might be worth that extra drive. Or as Sharon was saying, if she has somewhere to store that much food, it might be worth the drive to go across town to buy quite a few items. But if you're just buying one pound of chicken here and some vegetables over here and maybe some water, bottled water, or something that's on sale that you know you like and that you know you need, just stick with one store. Because as I had mentioned earlier, for every minute after a half hour, you end up spending about 50 cents to $1 more. Mm. When you're still driving around, it still adds up. So just because you walk out of one grocery store, if you walk into the next, that clock starts right back.
Yeah, one tip we didn't cover so far on your list is don't forget about the store brand. That you can save a lot of money with the generic or store brand, yet a lot of people just are kind of wedded to those brands.
Absolutely. And what a lot of people don't know is that store brands and name brands are often packaged or canned in the same place, and mm-hmm. and then they're just given a different label. And supermarkets are doing a lot of research, and they found that many consumers can't tell the difference between the name brand and the store brand, and in some cases, the store brands were the ones that were preferred. So if you want to try a store brand, buy one can, buy one package, see how you like that, and then if you do, switch and make that option, because the store brands, you usually don't see them on sale as often because they are already marked as low as they can go. So it's definitely an economical way to grocery shop if you aren't dead set on one particular name brand.
To the phones we go again. Marcia in Sturgeon Bay. Hi, you're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. I do a couple of things. I buy in bulk when I can. Excuse me. I also use my vacuum sealer, but to make sure that I don't forget what I have in the freezer, I keep an inventory and I use a magnet, keep it on the front of my freezer, and as I take things out and I have it listed shelf by shelf, kind of compulsive, I mark things off, and then as I buy new things and add them, I add them to the list, and I date everything.
Well, that's admirably organized, not compulsive, Marcia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say. I think people are going to be getting a lot more compulsive over the next couple months, and hopefully not years. But if prices continue to rise, we're going to see a lot of people really trying to figure out and make the best of what they have and what they can use. And I love the idea of keeping an inventory, and that especially is good if you have children or if you're going, you know, out with friends one night, but you need to feed the family. You can say, "Hey, well, in the refrigerator, in the freezer, here are these items," and you already know it's there. And then that way, you're not wasting energy with the grocery store or with the freezer door open, digging through trying to find that particular item. So, yeah, not compulsive, just organized. We like that.
Yeah.
Well, what a relief.
Thank you very much, Marcia. Very good idea. I hope I can do that someday.
I know.
Randy and Laval, hi. You're on the air.
Yeah, just extended farm family background. My grandmother used to say there's no reason for hunger in the world with something like cornmeal mush. She would make up a big batch, and we've done this generation after generation, and it substitutes for a meat on a breakfast or even a lunch, a fried patty of cornmeal mush, and a small volume makes up of cornmeal makes up such a large volume in a pan to slice and then fry, and I notice almost nobody does that anymore, and it's really tasty. All of my children grew up liking it, and
yeah, that's funny, Randy. My dad used to do that too. He was the cook, and we had polenta, though, is what we called it.
Yeah, I love it, and it substitutes for a meat, and I noticed that family that. I keep going back to my grandmother, that family that did that, all of those, she, her sisters, that family, they all lived into their hundreds. So.
Wow. Well, value meals, that's a good idea, right, Holly?
Definitely. Oh, that makes me hungry. I haven't eaten breakfast yet, and I'm thinking, what am I going to eat now this morning? That's a great suggestion. Yes, anytime that you can find something that can be substituted that's less expensive than what you had before and makes a lot, that definitely is a great suggestion.
Yeah, Vicki in Pleasant Prairie says she does go to stores that have store coupons, and then she combines them with product coupons, and then she'll get to double coupon savings.
That's very smart. Mm-hmm. And a lot of stores will honor that. It may take a little bit of extra time just to call the store before you go, or when you get there, talk to a store manager to find out if they do take double or triple coupons. But studies are finding that people can save as much as $40 to $50
per grocery trip mm-hmm. by using double and triple coupons, if that's possible. So that definitely is smart. I recommend shopping those store flyers, especially if it's for items that you purchase regularly, to find out what the sales mm-hmm. are, and then go in and see if you can find a coupon online or on the manufacturer's website.
Yeah, we only have a minute left. One of the number 10 tip on your list is also watch the scanners. Make sure that the grocery store is not overcharging.
That is my favorite tip. I wanted to mention that one. Keep your eye on the scanner during checkout, because American consumers lose $2.5 billion to supermarket scanner overcharges each year. And a lot of times it's just because store computers don't immediately update their sales. Mm-hmm. So keep an eye on the scanner to make sure that the price is right. So you know, okay, I bought this chicken and it was on sale for $1.99 per pound, but it's ringing up for $3 a pound. Just tell the clerk. They're very good about correcting that for you. And if you can't watch it as fast as it's going through, just check the receipt at the end and double-check. Yeah. They're so willing to work with you. But it happens very often, even in closed stores and other places. Yeah. But keep an eye on that scanner.
We got to leave it there. Holly, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you so much. Good luck grocery shopping.
Thanks a lot. Holly Johnson, food editor for MyRecipes.com. Thanks to Carmen Jackson, Karen Prager, and Rob Ferret for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.